Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to A Course in Miracles with CA on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we experience life and spirituality. And if you are listening live today, thank you very much. Today is August 2nd, 2019. Unbelievable. I feel like in Colorado here, literally, I was just thinking, I'm now fully into all my summer clothes. You know, it took a long time before I wasn't really grabbing those long jeans or a long t-shirt. And it's August. I mean, you know, September is weeks away. And I thought, there's going to be that day when all of a sudden I'm grabbing a sweatshirt again, even though I know that we will have some really wonderful September days. It just, you know, I guess that's what happens as you get older. And time just seems to speed up so much. Ooh, so
yeah.
In any case, yes, this is August 2nd. It is quite warm, very hot here in Colorado. And I'm just thankful for everything that is today. So thank you, everybody, for being here and for listening to us. My guest today, you hear in the background, is Susan Dugan. She is a Course in Miracles teacher and the author of multiple articles and books that are based on forgiveness and living A Course in Miracles. And she had suggested that today we go back to the ACIM workbook for students and look at lesson 139, I Will Accept Atonement for Myself. And of course, this is one of those titles that I think, man, you know, coming from the Christian agenda, I automatically go, what? You know, that word atonement. But I think it's wonderful, and it'll be a great lead off for our discussion today. Because, of course, here's at least one definition of atonement is remembering to be in our right minds. It's the memory of who we really are. And I think that's one of the things this lesson is about. And so, you know, we get into this whole thing of what does it mean to accept atonement? But atonement is literally to just go back and remember who we truly are and that we never, ever separated from God. And that's, you know, that's a lot about what this lesson is. And so I think it's good. I think it's also a good reminder for those of you who are studying A Course in Miracles that very much this is a reinterpretation of many of these concepts that not all of us have grown up with, but many of us have. If we've grown up in very, you know, religious or Christian traditions, we have all these words, you know, forgiveness and atonement and sacrifice and all kinds of things. And if you read A Course in Miracles, it's really a reinterpretation of that and getting us to think of it in a slightly different way. So I will always remind people, don't approach A Course in Miracles and just go, I know exactly what this means. You have to approach it with a very open mind and really say, what is this really telling me? And this, to me, is one of those lessons. So before we get started, I would invite you to join us over in our private group over on Facebook. And if you haven't ever been there before, you can get there by going to 12radio.com. Look on the left side of the page. You'll see the word chat. If you click it, it will redirect you over to Facebook, where Christy Brower, who is our producer today, will let you in. And you can join the people that are already there. And I do want to shout out and say, hey, thanks for being here early today. Amber and Quelly and Greg, always good to see you. And Greg, thank you for posting that link to today's lesson 139. From the Foundation for Inner Peace. And to Renee, thank you too for being here. We're going to have a good time. At least, yeah, that's how I'm going to put it. We're going to have a good time because, you know, even this morning, you know how sometimes as an astrologer, I'm automatically pulling out my astrology calendar because it just feels like the energy is a little edgy. And I'm like, okay, I need a reason. I need to know, why does this energy feel edgy? What's going on today? And of course, I immediately see Venus is squaring Uranus. And then my mind is going, okay, I got it. I got why I'm so edgy. But, you know, ultimately, that's never the reason. And ultimately, it's always just about going back and going, okay, God, Jesus, higher self, whatever you want to call it, I'm having some issues here. I need you to bring me back to center. I need you to help me look at this differently. That's always what it's about. So whether it's, you know, I even had like a little issue with the dogs and, you know, so in fact, I closed my office door and I said, you're not coming in. And then I went, okay, knock it off. So I just opened the door and said, okay, come on in. Please, please be good girls. But if you're not, you're not. But I am not going to just like totally fall into those old habits because that's what it felt like I was doing this morning automatically. And like I said, and I was searching desperately for some astrological reason. instead of looking at myself and going, it's because you kind of have this predisposition. The minute you lose that remembrance of being a child of God, when you forget and you think you're separated, you think it's me against the world, then all this stuff is going to kind of happen. So here are my girls. They're both just laying here peacefully sleeping. We'll see if that continues. If it doesn't, you'll hear it. You'll hear it right on my microphone. So, Susan, thank you so much for suggesting this lesson. And I know that your world is a little complicated right now, too.
Yes, it is. We always, right? I mean, I was laughing when you were talking about the edgy, you know, the edgy feeling or something, waking up with that edgy feeling and you know, immediately searching for an astrological reason or whatever. And I sort of use those too. We've had a few of them this summer that because I the greater turmoil in my life, I've been saying, well, it is a Mercury retrograde, or it is, you know, these other factors that are causing people to be so difficult. But you know, in truth, the edginess is always the inner edginess, right?
Right.
And so that's really what we have to accept, that really we are always we're really not at all in touch with the fact that we are one with God. And, you know, the separation, when we're identified as individual bodies and individual selves, we're kind of cruising through life looking for trouble. You
know? Yeah.
looking for something to blame that edginess on, you know, because the edginess is always there. And it's that nagging guilt that we feel over believing that we're separate, but we just don't know where it's coming from, right? So that is what in this lesson, what I really, as that was sort of going on for me in my world, we did get a contract on our house finally, but we're, you know, we're going through all of the very, very complicated mechanisms, machinations of how that plays out now. And you know, there's just, it seems like a gazillion steps in a contract that like this that you have to go through, including inspections and, you know, lots and lots of difficult negotiations. And so, you know, that right there puts us squarely in a defensive position as egos, right? You know, we're believing, you know, that we're one or the other. And, and so there's been a lot of drama around all of that, of course. And, you know, and myself getting swept into it as well. I mean, definitely, you know, I was feeling like I was really kind of calmly in the, you know, pretty right-minded throughout most of it. But this last week, a couple things happened that really were very, very difficult. And so as I was kind of feeling that within myself and really getting in touch with how much I didn't want to let it go, you know, I came to this lesson as a result actually of something that I was teaching in my Tuesday night class, which was also mentioning atonement. So I went back, I immediately, as I was reading it, went back to, you know, it triggered in my memory of this lesson. And then I also went and looked at what Ken, a short YouTube that Ken has on the subject of atonement in the course, which is fantastic. It's like 5 minutes and you can Google it and find it. But you know, really the idea that it's nothing really different. It's just a different way of looking at the central message of forgiveness in the course. And atonement in the course basically is just meaning that the separation never happened. You know, that the atonement principle is that the tiny mat idea had no real consequences. You know, the only problem was that we forgot to laugh at it. And the tiny mat idea was the belief that we could separate from God. But in practice, and Ken said this, he said that, you know, really, that the recognition of that, the atonement that we are not separate from God, is really sort of the consummation of the forgiveness process. Along the way, in every moment, we have what we're asked to do as students in terms of accepting the atonement for myself is to really see everything that, you know, all of my reactions, all of the edginess, edgy problems that I'm seeing as generated from someone outside me or something outside me as an outside picture of my, you know, of my self-condemnation, of my own call for love. It's never anybody else's call for love. And so, you know, in any given moment, I can choose to see that really, you know, I don't have to join with the other person's ego attack, but I have to also recognize that if I am reacting, I am joining with it. And it's really only my mind in need of healing. And that's the process of, you know, forgiveness that we're asked to practice in every moment. And we always have a choice of, you know, choosing peace instead of this. We always have a choice of questioning and challenging the cause of our unkind reactions to what someone seems to be doing. And so it really brought me back to a deeper understanding of what atonement meant in the Course, but also it brought me back to my right mind. And, you know, kind of seeing that, you know, again, it's I didn't want to let it go because I was afraid of love. You know, letting it go meant to say that we are the same is recognizing a really wounded part of myself, you know, mm-hmm. that's throwing a tantrum. And when we're choosing the ego, we're always throwing a tantrum. We're always saying one or the other. We're always digging our heels in and saying, I have to have it my way to be happy. You're the reason I can't be happy. You know, this right. condition that you're putting on this need that you have is why I can now not be happy. You're taking this away from me. And that's not true. You know, in form, people may, you know, be doing really things that are not so nice, but that doesn't mean, but they're doing it for the same reason that I do things that are not so nice, you know. And so really, you know, it is always in my best interests to take responsibility for the healing of my own mind by, as you were saying earlier, you know, that next step is to say, could I have help with this from you, Jesus, from you, Holy Spirit, from the part of my mind that really sees this differently, you know, that really sees us as all injuring ourselves by choosing the ego thought system. And the truth is, you know, it's great to hold in situations like the one I was talking about. You know, I kept trying to sort of take the, you know, Michelle Obama's quote about that when they go low, we go high, you know.
Right.
But that's not quite it either, because, you know, that's still making a big difference between us. And really.
Yeah, a hierarchy.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's I'm the higher. That's really sort of a version of, I mean, I love that quote. And it's within the, you know, the world and the dream, it's a better way to go. But but ultimately, really, we have to see that we all go high and low at times, you know, and for the same reason. I mean, it looks like the reason is about form, but it's always that same, you know, wounded self, child of God, that believes that they're no longer worthy of going home. That lesson 182 talks about that we're all really in, you know, in touch with when we're acting out at someone else. And so really, you know, it's always about, it always comes back to every lesson in the Course, and all the terms that the Course uses are just ways, other ways of getting us back to learning that forgiveness is our only real function here, you know, and
right.
accepting the atonement for myself along the path home, you know, as we slowly travel back up the ladder, the Course says that separation seemed to lead us down into this kind of cesspool of separate interests. As we begin to reverse our direction back to the mind, withdraw our, you know, defensiveness of our own personal positions and seeming personal selves interests. We can do that with help from Jesus, Holy Spirit, to see that we really, what the real shared interest that we have is. And that is that learning that we really, no one's guilty here, and we really are on the same side. And any situation, and the challenging ones are actually the most beneficial in many ways, because they force us to look at this, you know, to look at our own reactivity and the way we dig in our heels, Those can be our greatest learning opportunities and our greatest opportunities to let go of the guilt that we're really accusing ourselves of. And, that doesn't mean that we're doormats, and that doesn't mean that we don't still have to, you know, do the normal thing that you do in contracts and set healthy boundaries and all those kinds of things. But as we do them, we don't have to be condemning in our mind and in a dramatic, you know, throwing a dramatic fit and condemning the other person. We can really see that whatever is going on with them that seems to be an attack is really coming from the same fear that I have when I'm feeling backed into a corner, which is a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So I've talked a long time about that, but I just think, you know, like any lesson in the course, this one, although it begins by talking about, you know, sort of the level one idea of atonement, that the separation never happened, it brings you right back to the idea of forgiveness. And the quote from the chapter that triggered this in my, you know, triggered me to go back and look at lesson 139 in the first place from the class, my Tuesday night class that I teach in chapter 28. It's from the section called The Greater Joining. And the quote was, accepting the atonement for yourself means not to give support to someone's dreams of sickness and of death. And really what that, you know, the sickness is the sickness of the ego thought system, that it's one or the other. And really, you know, what that is saying is that I don't have to join in an ego attack. You know, I can answer my call for love in that seems to be presenting in them with love, with kindness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting that you said, chapter 28, because in fact, when Ken, I was reviewing, his journey through the workbook.
Right.
Where he talks about all the lessons, and he goes right at the very beginning of this one, he goes right to the text 28, and I'll read what he says.
Yeah,
this is what he quotes. He says, the miracle does not awaken you, but merely shows you who the dreamer is.
Right.
It teaches you there is no choice of dreams while you are still asleep, depending on the purpose of your dreaming. Do you wish for dreams of healing or for dreams of death? The miracle establishes you dream a dream, and that its content is not true.
Right.
This is a crucial step in dealing with illusions. No one is afraid of them when he perceives he made them up. The fear was held in place because he did not see that he was author of the dream and not a figure in the dream.
Right.
So
right.
Are you doing text 28 in your Tuesday class? Is that what you're studying?
Yes, we've been doing that. And we did that section, I think, last week. Yes, I mean, it really is, you know, it claiming, I mean, the decision that I make in the moment when I'm feeling my, you know, the practice of forgiveness, basically, when I become reactive and I'm really feeling defensive, you know, I mean, defensiveness is always a big red flag that we're firmly embedded in the ego thought system. Because what are we, who and what are we really defending, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the metaphysics of the course, really nothing, absolutely nothing, you know, that's not our experience, but that the course is telling us that's the truth. And that there's really nothing out there, you know, that we're all really just dreaming a dream of opposition, of an alternate reality to God, in which there is all this conflict as a result of the, you know, as part of the punishment for separation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being banished from heaven, and that we deserve punishment, and so we're always in competition to try to differentiate ourselves as less guilty than the other. You know, everybody's guilty here, but we're playing this constant tug of war over who's the guiltier one. And to try to save ourselves, you know, we feel that frightened of this unloving father, the course says, that you made up, the God that doesn't even know about this world. And so so when I say that the decision to recognize that it's only my mind in need of healing, that's really the same as saying, that it's to recognize that I am the dreamer of this dream. It's my dream. It doesn't have anything to do with what's happening, you know, with their dream, that with, right. with what seems to be happening to me as a result of them. You know, I'm the dreamer of the dream. I'm not the victimized hero of the dream, and which we're all trying to portray ourselves as, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's very funny when you get involved in these multiple, you know, where you have several personalities involved in some kind of negotiation or something, to just kind of watch just how everyone in that, you know, whatever role they're playing is firmly embedded in their role and their position. And that's just the, what egos do. You know, it's not to be taken personally. It's just what we do. And I mean, there is a better way, and that's what brought us to the course. And that, you know, when we're not identified with ourselves in, with the ego, we're not coming from a place of seeing separate interests. We don't really have to ask for that awareness. It's just there. But most of the time we're not in that place. You know, we're firmly rooted in the dream without questioning it. And we've already chosen the ego as our defense. You know, we've chosen, this is my personal self, and I need to, you know, I'm the innocent one here. And of course we don't really believe that. And so it doesn't even work. You know, when we get our own way, when we get our needs met, it really is such a fleeting victory, isn't it? You know, it doesn't really feed that need and to feel better about ourselves, to feel more worthy of love. You know, we still feel guilty. And usually we feel guilty because we believe again that we've taken something from the other. You know, if we win, there's a burden with that too in the ego thought system. You know?
Right. Because if you win, then now you're vulnerable because somebody's right. going to try to get it back from you.
That's in fact, right.
You know, that's what I was kind of thinking. I mean, there was a temptation. Well, I guess I'm giving into temptation. You know, Susan is in the midst. She's been talking about this. She's trying to sell a home and buy a home. And, you know, but the way of the world says, I need to get as much as I can from you without giving anything.
Right.
And that's what the ego does. And as long as we're there and we're not even aware of it, you know, it's like we are going to act according to that. If I'm going to, you know, if I want to be seen as a success in the world, I've got to get as much for this house as I can. I've got to get a good deal and give almost nothing. And then turn around and buy another house and give that seller nothing.
Right.
And reserve all my resources. Mm-hmm. And I think so often we, you know, there again, we almost tout it, you know, like, oh, look at the deal I made. Look at what I did. In
Absolutely.
Fact, I told you before, I worked with somebody one time who told me he had gone into kind of being a private practitioner, not a spiritual person. I don't want to indicate that, but he was in a business where he sold a product. And he said his goal was to figure out how to write every single thing off in his life and not pay taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, isn't that cool? Like, that's my goal. And look how far I've
right,
come.
Right.
And I remember just looking at him thinking, wow, what a goal. I mean, it just, I mean, you know, it was
yeah.
so, I don't know. It was just so flagrant. Let's put it that way. And yet all he was doing is elaborating on what we all feel
that's
to
right.
some extent, you know,
right.
whether it's big or whether it's little. Like if you said to me, yeah, we got a really bad deal on the house. It's not like I'd go, good job, Susan. You got
right.
that. Somebody feels really good about that. I'm not going to applaud you. You're not going to get a lot of kudos from the world because the world has a whole different set of rules that it's playing by.
Right.
And, you know, unless we kind of just
well, unless you play it as a victim,
that,
right?
Then, yeah.
Then, yeah and, you know, that's always, remember, we also get a lot of mileage out of being victims. So.
Well, that's true, too. Oh,
yes.
Poor Susan. Right.
Right. And so, you know, so then that can be used. If you don't win, well, you know, you're a victim. So that works, too.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, with the win comes that idea of punishment at some point. So there's no winners here, you know. that's why Ken called the whole ego thought system a maladaptive solution to a non-existent problem. Right. The non-existent problem is that we believe we're separate from God, and the maladaptive solution is to try to, you know, give to get, to make the world work, to make a better world, to make a better self, to somehow substitute for the love that we believe we destroyed, and somehow position ourselves relative to each other as to be less guilty. But neither one of them really do anything. You know, the guilt is still there. It just nourishes the belief, because all of our focus and energy is going to a dream that isn't even true, you know, based on a lie, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're all scrambling to act these scripts of our personal selves out, believing that we can somehow, you know, make it work if we just figure out the right way to do it, you know, how to manipulate it. And that's what we're all doing. That's what you were talking about. But I mean, I was in a business transaction this week where the quote from someone was, and I'll have to blank out a couple words. but when you're in, the quote was, when you're in a business transaction and someone's being a blank, you just have to jump in that cesspool right with them.
Oh.
And I was, you know, I just was thinking, and the person who was saying it meant it as, you know, like as a life lesson.
Right.
I mean, really as something like, you know, that they have learned over many years that has worked for them. And you just think, okay, well, there it is, isn't it? Or when you hear, I mean, I think, you know, some of the politicians have said things like that lately, that, you know, in retaliation for the crap that's going on. Well, you know, you know, when someone's hitting you in the face, or I forget the one that there was a quote by Nancy Pelosi that was somewhat similar recently, because you know, people are feeling so attacked. And so it's very fundamental to the world's way, but the world's way isn't working. You know, and that's what brought us to the course in the first place. And, you know, the idea is not to try, you can't fix a world that was, you know, programmed and forgot we made it up to be a generator of constant conflict. It's just never going to be conflict free. We're deceiving ourselves when we believe that. Within the dream, within the world, we can be we can learn through forgiveness and through looking at and letting go of our own guilt to demonstrate a different choice at the level of the mind that will allow us to go through the world kindly. You know, with from a position of where we don't see separate interests. Ultimately, that's where we're being led. But that's a great learning. You know, we're at the bottom of the ladder with that. And so we really, you know, the way we get there is to practice to make this the overriding purpose of our lives, even as we go through all the things that normal people have to do in the dream. I mean, those are our classrooms. We don't want to withdraw from those. And, you know, the course's way, I'm not saying that this way doesn't work eventually, but the course's way is not monastic. It's not about going and sitting on top of a mountain and removing yourself from the fray, you know. It's through relationship that we learn. And one of the wonderful things that I'm learning right now through this in a deeper way, I think, is really those times when everyone becomes right-minded, you know? I mean, it's just like there's a shift to complete collaboration between people that were just screaming at each other before, you know, in their own frustration, not necessarily because they were on this, you know, but just out of frustration. And to see them suddenly sort of come together, and to let drop the conditions and the defensiveness is a beautiful thing, you know? And so when we're representing and I think, you know, the more that we can be representing that as a choice that I'm making, just paying attention to making that choice for ourselves, it does have an effect on those around us. It may not immediately, it may not for centuries, you know, it might be in future scripts, but sometimes we do see that it does have an effect, and you know, it's wonderful. Everybody has a right mind. Everybody has an ego. Everybody has, you know, shares the decision-making mind. And every time I make the decision to accept the atonement for myself, to remember my function is forgiveness, and, you know, that this is not the cause of my unhappiness, and we're all on the same side here, every time I do that, I'm empowering the strength of every part of the decision-making mind to make that same choice.
Right. Well, and in fact, even in this lesson 139, in one of the paragraphs, it says, we have not lost the knowledge that God gave to us when he created us like him. We can remember it for everyone. For in creation are all minds as one.
Right.
Now, that's one of those things. I think we can never quite understand that on the human level, how that works.
Right. But, because,
yeah. But
it's level one. Yeah. I mean, it's beyond, it's the truth of what we are, but that's it. But we can reflect it. You know, the Course says we're not in touch with that now, but we have a part of our mind, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the right mind, that is that memory of that complete, wholeness, oneness joined as one, which is unconditionally loving and, you know, is completely undifferentiated and united and mm-hmm. can't be divided. And so, and innocent, you know,
right.
Eternally innocent. And so that is within us all, that spark of that enduring and, you know, eternally burning light is within every mind. And that's what we're trying to, that's what everybody really wants to find. You know, we're just looking in the wrong place. We're mm-hmm. looking in the darkness for a light that we've deliberately, you know, denied it.
Right. Well, and in fact, I've told you this before, I think, because, I mean, it's something, it's a joke I heard when I was a teenager, but I never forgot it. And I don't remember all the specifics, but basically it's something about a guy is golfing and he slices the ball. And when he slices the ball bounces across the course, goes out into a street, hits a car, the car crashes, you know, runs over a neighbor's lawn. And there's this whole sequence of events.
Chain
of unfortunate events. And so as the police come back and they're, you know, trying to get it, you know, untie all these knots, figure out all these correlations, they finally come back to the golfer and they explain this to him. This is what has happened. You know, all this damage, car crash, damage to a house, blah, 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 blah. And they said, so what are you going to do about it? And he said, I think I'm going to shift my grip a little to the left. And I, even as a teenager, I loved that joke. I thought it was so funny. But talk about a life lesson. You know, it really, to me, I thought about that joke when I looked at this lesson this morning. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because we go through all these little things. I'm going to ship this. I'm going to ship this. I'm going to do this, 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 this,
right.
this. The only significant thing we can shift is to go back to our right minds.
That's right.
You know, it's got to be at the beginning. You know, he can't, in a sense, a golfer couldn't undo all that damage. And he couldn't, you know, the only thing he did is slice the ball.
Right.
And he knew right then, the only thing I can control is slicing the ball.
Right.
And that's where I feel like I particularly, but all of us, we believe the dream. We forget we're the dreamer. We forget
yes.
where all this stuff is coming from. And as you said, we've got to live in the world. So yeah, maybe he did have to pay for those damages, or maybe we're going to have to untie some of those knots or be responsible for them. But when we're really looking at what could I do differently, it's always going back to the source. It's always going back to the initial decision. And in this lesson, who am I? That whole idea of questioning, who am I? Well, the minute you're questioning that, at least in this lesson, it says because you're willing to believe that you're not what you are.
Right.
You're willing to all of a sudden believe that the silly, mad idea, I can separate from God. And then we go off on this whole tangent of who am I, looking for ourselves? You know, how often
right.
do we hear that or say that? I'm looking for myself. Well, as you said, we're looking for ourselves in the darkness. We're looking for ourselves in the dream. We continually go through the mazes in the dream instead of going back to the initial choice and decision. So,
right.
you know, just like I said this morning, it's so edgy and I'm looking for an astrological reason. And of course I found one, you know, there's got to be one in the dream. But ultimately it's like, just go back to the source, you know, and if it's coming, if it's a reflection of inside, can I just go back and say, okay, then there's another way to look at this. There's another way. So whether the energy on the world's level is edgy or not, there's another way for me to look at this. There's another way for me to, like the golfer, look at this whole situation. What am I in control of? What can I do about it? I can take my mind. I can remember that I'm a mind. And that's what we want to forget.
Right.
We want to forget that we're a decision maker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The whole point of A Course in Miracles, it's not A Course in Love. It's not.
Right.
I mean, I read something in chapter 28 this week. I can't remember exactly where it was. But, you know, it says it in other places that the Course does not try to take us beyond the top of the ladder. You know, this is not the Course does not address awakening. The Course addresses getting, you know, letting go of the guilt so that we can remember where we are in the first place, where we've never left. You know, it doesn't dwell on those level one statements. And it tells us not to try to understand them because we can't. You know, it calls them senseless musings. And so really this is, the great hope of and focus of A Course in Miracles is to get us to recognize and take responsibility for the truth that we are not personal bodies, but decision making, but part of a decision making mind that's dreaming up a personal body for the same reason that everyone else is, you know, to reinforce the idea of separation, make it real, and prove we exist at God's expense, and it's not our fault.
Right.
It's another body's. And that's what the whole world is about. And so, you know, this is a course in taking 100% responsibility for my emotions, for my reactions. Mm-hmm. It's not true that they are caused by someone else. It may seem like they are, and we don't have to go very far to point a finger. You know, we set it up that way too. We've got lots and lots of problematic other bodies that seem to be causing the problem.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
But that's just, you know, that's an illusion. That's the way we set it up. And the whole point is always to go back, to take that projection back and take responsibility for it. No, wait a minute. What does that really have to do with me? I could see peace instead of this. And if I'm not seeing peace instead of this, I'm afraid of love right now. I'm feeling very guilty right now. Mm-hmm. It's never true that I can't love myself because of what you did.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and I was just going to say, you know, Ken, of course, said many times, this is not a course in love. This is not a course in finding God. It's not a course in any of that. It's a course in just remembering that you're a decision maker, removing all of the obstacles, all of those little things we put out there that are actually keeping us from seeing clearly. And in fact, something I was listening to this morning, I just, you know, kind of laughed because he said, guys, we are all an afterthought.
Right.
And, you know, that's one of those principles in the course where, you know, they go, actually, you know, you've already explored every single avenue there possibly is, just like a huge computer. You know, you've calculated all the possibilities, and you're just an after effect. You just keep re-looking at those mazes, re-looking at those pictures. But, you know, I was kind of standing there making an iced coffee, and he goes, you know, you're just an after effect. And I was just kind of holding my coffee going, okay, well, in this moment, I'm going to enjoy my iced coffee, but oh my God, he's right. I'm an after effect. I'm just a shadow on the wall.
Right. Yeah, he used to use that image. You have to be, I'm revealing my age here, but when we were kids, the old TVs had that little, when you know, they would go, we didn't have 24/7 TV then. And the major networks, when they went off the air after singing you know, after the flag was lowered and the Star Spangled Banner was sung, that they would go off, and there would be this, you know, the tube would go to like this little, I don't know, you know, there was an after image. Yeah. There was like a little blob of light that would go off. And Ken used to say, that's all we are, you know,
the show is over, guys.
The show's over. And you know, it happened in a nanosecond, that we laughed, that, and the course says that, that we smiled. This all happened, was over long ago. You know, we smiled at the tiny mad idea and moved on. I mean, we didn't really move on because there's no time and space, but it was over and you know, it disappeared back into the nothingness from which it sprang. Mm-hmm. And so, can I read part of something here that kind of speaks to this about the world? It's in paragraph 7 of lesson 139. Nothing the world believes is true. It is a place whose purpose is to be a home where those who claim they do not know themselves can come to question what it is they are. And, right? And that's the, you know, we come here. You know, in the midst of an identity crisis, right? We believe that we made this personal self, but we kind of don't know how we got here. We don't know, you know, I mean, the whole thing, we feel like we're victims immediately and we landed on this planet, right? And,
right.
And these parents are not really meeting all of our needs. And, you know, so the defensiveness begins. And then he says, and they will come again until the time atonement is accepted, and they learn it is impossible to doubt yourself and not to be aware of what you are. You know, that this was over long ago. We're still, you know, alive, awake in God, dreaming of exile, dreaming
right.
of another existence that never happened, you know.
Well, so, of course, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that we're not in touch with that yet, but that is where the Course is leading us. And so everything that we're making such a big deal about is really nothing. I mean, literally nothing, you know,
right.
And that scares the hell out of us. Because then if everything outside me is nothing, what am I? Right.
An aftershadow.
A little blip on the screen, you know.
Right. Well, what I love about this is how that paragraph started. Nothing the world believes is true. Mm-hmm. It is a place whose purpose is to be a home where those who claim they do not know themselves can come to question what it is they are. And, you know, that's another thing in the Course they say over and over. What is the purpose?
Yep.
Don't, you know, keep going there. Keep digging at that. What is the purpose? And when the purpose of something, when, you know, I always think of it as a lens. And if that's the lens that we're using, then we already have a goal. We have a purpose.
Right.
You know, in fact,
I'm
trying to remember if I said it on this show or another one. It was just kind of funny a few weeks ago. Talk about being edgy. The energy really was. I don't know where that moon was, but people, they were edgy. And I noticed there were several situations I had with friends or with people where I already knew their predisposition about something. And then they would call me or text me and go, can you believe such and such happened? And I just kind of burst out laughing going, well, that's kind of what you always say is going to happen. So why are you acting so shocked? And in other words, it was as if, you know, I already know you don't like this. I already know you don't like this person. You don't like this situation. So now you're texting me and acting like you're all surprised because this person did something you didn't like.
Right.
And I wanted to go, you know, what would have been surprising is if the person had done something that you did approve of.
Right.
You know, that's what would have been shocking.
Why are we still holding on to it? And again, what does it have to do with me? They do what they do, you know?
Right. And so right. The purpose is, you know, and I mean, of course, it really wasn't a politician. But see, we can put it in that kind of context. If mm-hmm. I don't like a certain politician or something, then I'm always going to be, you know, shouting and screaming or whatever and getting all bent out of shape because this person does this. Well, what, you know, your purpose is to disapprove of that person.
Yes.
And once again, what is your purpose? If your purpose is to find fault, if your purpose is to feel like a victim, like you mentioned earlier, if that's our purpose, guess what? We're going to do it really, really well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we don't have to dig very, you know, we don't have to do a lot of analysis. We know by our reactions and how we're feeling what our purpose is
mm-hmm.
all the time. You know, I mean, we have instant feedback,
right,
to tell us what our purpose is. And the purpose is always the same, to make separation real and to prove that I exist apart from God. But it's not my fault. It's theirs.
Right.
You know, I won again. The ego wins again.
Yeah, right? It's somebody else's fault.
I'm a victim.
Always
I'm a victim.
Somebody else's fault.
Yeah. Yep. And so, but the whole point is to learn to change the purpose. Okay. So now I have that, now that I've become aware of what my real, you know, that my purpose is the ego, is the choice for the ego to prove separation real, you know, I'm also learning that that makes me feel really bad. Mm-hmm. So I have a different choice I can make. And the choice is to question the cause of my projection and to say, you know, it's, as the Course is telling us, I'm really not upset for the reason I think. I'm upset because I chose the ego. It's the only reason for any upset here, any pain of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the same. And right. So the answer is always the same. I could see peace instead of this. And there is peace in my mind if I am mm-hmm. willing to choose it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to wait that out. I mean, I did this week I was asking for that, but I was still feeling very reactive.
Right.
And recycling, you know, things that the person had said and the whole thing in my mind. But you know what? I did keep practicing. And as it came up and reminding myself that I must be wrong and that I would like to see peace. I just must not be ready for it yet. And eventually, after that was really when that situation where I was talking about, people really becoming very collaborative all of a sudden who normally weren't. to see that happen. And so it was kind of like, well, you know, maybe I have been answered because there's something shifted here. And, you know, but it doesn't really matter if it shifts on the outside. If it shifted within me. And so my perception was different. So who knows if maybe they were collaborative all the time.
You know? Yeah.
And I just couldn't see it. Because I was putting my needs in the way. So mm-hmm. we don't know. And it doesn't matter. And, you know, there's another kind of section here that talks about our mission. Can I read that?
Do we have time? Of course. Yep. You don't need my permission.
Okay. So it's paragraph 9, and it says, we have a mission here. We did not come to reinforce the madness that we once believed in. Let us not forget the goal that we accepted. It is more than just our happiness alone we came to gain. What we accept as what we are proclaims what everyone must be along with us. Fail not your brothers, or you fail yourself. Look lovingly on them, that they may know that they are part of you and you of them. And really, you know, we ask for help to see them lovingly so that we can see ourselves lovingly again. Because mm-hmm. we're hating ourselves when we're in that defensive position, and it feels
mm-hmm.
awful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, this is a wonderful lesson. And for me, if only because, like I said, the minute I saw that word atonement, you know, it made me go right back to what does that really mean? Mm-hmm. What does that word atonement mean? Because I talk about being reactive. I want to be reactive.
Right.
And I want to react to all those, the history, you know, of where I came from. And yet I'm very thankful in a sense for all those years of Catholic school. I'm very thankful right. for those in many, many ways. But just remembering, once again, you don't need to be reactive. Look at what this word really means. And it says, when you accept remembering who you really are, that's right. what it's asking you to accept. Can you accept yourself as a decision maker? Can you go back to that moment? Can you quit looking at all these details and all the conflict, all that what I'm calling edginess this, you know, today? Can you stop looking at that and just go, you're a decision maker? You get to define the purpose
right.
for what's going on for you.
Right. And really, the word in the Course means almost the opposite of the word in Christianity, because the word in Christianity assumes that there was this horrible sin against God, that we really did sin against God, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were, you know, that's what got us thrown out of heaven in the first place. And we have this original sin. And so our entire lives are supposed to be about sacrificing to make ourselves worthy to be, you know, accepted back to God. And
right.
So we made an unloving father. We made a father that recognizes sin, punishes. And, you know, we have hell. I mean, we have, you know, there's this whole hierarchy of what people deserve for their part in this. And in the Course, it's a completely different concept. The atonement principle is no one's guilty here. Separation never happened. There was no sin. There's no need for guilt. And there's no need for fear of punishment because nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything opposite to love does not in truth exist and is actually meaningless. You know?
Yes. Well, and, you know, interesting that, you know, when you bring up the Christianity again, I was thinking that one thing I do remember that I thought was interesting is that the derivation of the word repent, you know, and in Christianity, you're always repenting. You're always, I mean, in Catholicism, you're going to confession, you're repenting. But it comes from the root word, which means to go back, to change your mind. And isn't that funny? I mean, to repent is to change your mind, is to go back. And, you know, if you think about it from A Course in Miracles perspective, to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's all it is, guys, you know.
Right, but not to need to sacrifice to make up for something that isn't there.
Yes, to make up for a mistake, right.
Yeah.
You know, how you put it before, the solution that doesn't work for a problem that didn't exist.
Right, maladaptive solution.
Yes, a maladaptive solution to a non-existent problem. So, Susan, thank you. Thank you very much. I just love these. I always say I do this show for myself, but hopefully as I do it for myself, we are of one mind. So maybe, you know, we are changing a lot of minds out there. Who knows?
All minds are joined.
That's right. There is only one mind. So thank you very much for helping me with mine see as my mind. And do you have any announcements that you'd like to make today before we wrap the show?
No, I don't know if I had done the interview with, or posted it on my site, the interview with Rosemary Lasasso from the foundation. She's retired now, but from the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. She was a longtime teacher and editor of all Ken's books, and an incredibly wise and kind person. And I did a lengthy interview with her that's posted on my website, foraysinforgiveness.com. And you can find it under interviews, and her name is Rosemary Lasasso. And I would highly recommend it for people, for course students. I think we talked about a lot of practical, you know, with a lot of practical examples over how forgiveness works in our lives and what that path, you know, it's a difficult path at times because we're challenging everything that the world is asserting, right?
Mm-hmm.
In our practice. I mean, we're not asked to go and argue with people or try to reform people or anything like that. But you know, internally, it's going against all of our self-programming. And so it's good to have support like that and to see that, you know, it's a journey and we will, but we do make progress over time and, you know, great shifts in our perspective and our relationships are possible through this.
Great. Well, thank you. And people, please go to foraysinforgiveness.com. That is Susan's blog. And you can read that interview. And you said you read it versus listening to it, right?
It's written. Yes.
Yes, it's written. Yeah. So
and it's kind of long, but you know, it's questions and answers. It's a conversation. So hopefully it's not, you know, real dense material. It's pretty practical.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that. And also I want to make an announcement, and that is that I am going to be doing some traveling in August, but I will have a new show next Friday on the 9th. We are going to continue listening to Ken Wapnick's workshop called Form versus Content, Sex and Money. This is the second part. You can hear the first part if you go to the on-demand section of 1-2 Radio. So I hope you'll listen to that. And quite frankly, because I am going to be traveling, you'll probably hear an encore of that on the 16th. So if you don't happen to tune in on the 9th or you just want to hear it again, you'll probably hear it on the 16th as well. So that's something to look forward to. So thank you very much for that. And thanks for joining us today. And Susan, thank you so much for being here. It's just always a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. I always enjoy it.
Okay. And Christy Brower, thank you for being here. And thanks to everybody in the chat room and everybody who was listening to this live or maybe listening to it as an encore. And I hope you will join me next week and also join me on Simple Tales next Tuesday. So until then, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we think about atonement.